Hello, you're listening to WHUS Stores 91.7. This is Bicycle Talk. Thank you very much. This is Bicycle Talk with Pedal and Ron. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, once again, you can email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. So I have some guests in the station today, or at least I have one guest so far, and another one that should be arriving very soon. Before I get to the guests, I just need to put out one little rant of the week, because it is a thing that we do on this program. We have Ron's Rant of the Week, and the Rant of the Week, of course, is riding in the dark with dark clothing on and no reflectors and no lights. Please, folks, if you're riding a bicycle and it's late at night and we can't see you, If we are driving a motorized vehicle, we cannot see you. If we're even riding our bicycles and we come up upon you, we can't see you. So please remember to put the lights on. It's that time of year. It's dark out. It gets dark early. And we want to just make sure that we are paying attention to that sort of thing. So everyone stays safe. That's very, very important. So anyway, in the studio with me today, I have a few different people that will be, well, another person who will be arriving. But right here in front of me, I have Joseph Dickerson, who is the adventure and fitness coach with InspiredAdventurist.com, head coach for the Octagon Active City Bicycle Company and Hartford Youth Cycling Team. Wow, there's a lot of things going on there.
It's very complicated.
But really,
it's I do fun stuff and I help people figure out what they love to do and the adventures they like to take, and then work with kids around helping them get on bikes and love it.
Well, you do fun stuff because it involves a bicycle.
Exactly.
And that's what it's all about, is it involves a bicycle. So obviously, you know, we all have a love for bicycles here, and that's kind of what has brought us all together and got to the point where we have met each other along the way. So a question goes out to every guest that comes onto the air.
Uh-oh.
And that question is, I got to put you on the spot. Okay, it's not a difficult one, but everyone who's a guest on the show gets asked the same question. What is your very first memory of being on a bicycle?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, that's good. So my first memory is not actually being on a bicycle.
Okay.
My first memory is getting a bicycle for Christmas.
Ooh, what timely thing to talk about.
Yeah, it was a black and red BMX bike. I think it might have been like a Redline or a Huffy, something like that, back when I was a kid. Nice coaster brake in the back. Had one of those BMX top guards, and the handlebars were up high, and it was the thing that I had been looking forward to the most of anything for Christmas. And I remember I went to bed super early because I just wanted Christmas to hurry up and show up. And in fact, I went to bed, and you know, kids, I woke up early, and somehow when I woke up, and I went out to where the Christmas tree was in our living room, somehow magically the bike was already there. And for the rest of the night, I actually didn't go back to my room to sleep. I actually fell asleep right in front of the Christmas tree, in front of my bike that I was looking forward to riding first thing in the morning. Now, I didn't know how to ride a bike yet. I still had to get training wheels on the thing.
Sure.
But I didn't really care, because I just knew I had a bike and that's what I wanted.
You know, that vision is, I think there's a lot of people that have that vision and can remember those moments. And,
yep.
And you know, I this is what I should have ranted on today. I should have talked about this a little bit more, but the people don't give bicycles as Christmas presents as much as they used to years ago.
Yeah.
When I first started working in the bicycle industry many years ago, I was in a bike shop where we had like 150 bikes in the basement with bows on them, ready to go out the door, that had been put on layaway sometimes 2 or 3 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they were just sitting down there waiting for that Christmas Eve moment when we could have people walking in and just handing them their bicycles, and they're going out, and everybody was so excited. And, oh, boy, can't wait to hit a reset button and get back to those days. I would just love to see that.
Well, I think that's what, you know, that's what we're trying to actually bring to Hartford, and I think what CCAP is doing to bring to Connecticut. I think, you know, the opportunity of getting kids on bikes and helping families, helping people recognize and reconnect with the adventure and fun and passion of being a kid on a bike and having an opportunity to really explore just beyond your neighborhood line. You know, I remember being a kid and having a chance to just ride a little bit further, you know, outside of the neighborhood, over that next hill, down that trail. Those were the things that got me so excited. Those are the things that keep me excited, for frankly. So maybe it's just, I'm just a big kid at heart still. So
I'm in a room with bike people.
Yeah,
this just feels good.
Yeah.
It just feels right, you know? So the other person that's in the room with us, not to cut you off, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of things we can talk about here. You sent me pages. It's great. I love it. I love it. It's perfect. I also have Dave Hoyle here. And Dave is the executive director of the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, CCAP, which I have been speaking about for the last 2 weeks on the air. We've been talking a lot about this. And Dave, why don't you just give us a little bit of a background of yourself, if you could just give me a rough idea what it is you do, what it is that CCAP does.
Well, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you having me on the show. And of course, I can always talk about CCAP and all the fun things that are happening. The big kahuna for us right now is obviously Cyclocross Nationals.
We are going to talk about that in depth today. Yes.
And the reason that we're even having that conversation and partnering with that event is really because CCAP is a statewide youth cycling organization. And the opportunities that it's bringing to kids throughout schools, through town programs, is better for the entire cycling community and the entire state. The CCAP to date actually has 35 programs throughout the state that kids can participate in, and that's through schools. Independent organizations like bike shops will start teams as well. And it's a great opportunity for kids to kind of reconnect and find their love for cycling again.
What a great program. We're going to go back to this because I'm not letting you off the hook on the question of what your very first experience with being on a bicycle. So we're gonna just back up to that just for a second, and we're going to ask you what your very first experience was with a bicycle.
Sure. I still remember, you know, I don't have the best memory of all the folks out there, but I still remember the moment when I first learned how to balance on a bike. Was first learning to ride, my father would push me along and then let go and then see what would happen. And that didn't really work. And I remember one day I went out and I stood next to the curb. And I, with one foot on the curb, I pushed myself along. Mm-hmm. And then I would just coast. And I finally got it where I didn't just, you know, push and then almost fall over. I could push and coast for like 10 feet at a time. And it was, I'll never forget that. That feeling was phenomenal.
Well, you know, my normal co-host, who's not here today, Fran, and she's also my co-host in life. we're kind of joined at the hip. We all talk about this freedom that you get. When you get that point where, okay, now you got the balance, now you're on the bike, and all of a sudden you're free. And it's I think that's something that we all feel, and it's a wonderful human response, because then all of a sudden, you know, now we're on our bikes, now we're free, now we're out there, and now look at us, we're all still doing bicycles.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously I've been in the bicycle industry for 41 years, so I've been around for a couple of days, and you guys, I mean, I'm seeing you all over. I remember seeing you when you were working over at Cycling Concepts for a long time. I've seen you at the bike shop,
yep,
right, because you're also wrenching there too,
yep,
part-time, and you're
yep
doing that too still
yeah.
still
well,
doing
well,
that
The main heart of the season is over, so I stop in there and hang out with him mostly because I have a ton of bikes that I have to work on.
I understand, and you know, this time of year you're kind of going to your local bike shop to keep everyone company because you know they're a little quiet and they're going to be real quiet in about 2 days when the temperature goes down to 8 degrees. And so it's an entirely different experience there. But anyway, you know, it's the love of bicycles that has brought us all together, and I think it's a great thing. And this program, this CCAP program, I am just beside myself about this thing because, you know, I'm a race promoter as well as, well, I wear a lot of hats, obviously, in the
yes,
bike
you do,
industry.
Ron.
Yeah, I do. I wear a couple of hats. So as a promoter, to get junior racers to show up to my cyclocross race, if I got three, maybe four, it was a big day. Mm. And it's just like the Hartford race this year in September, 60 kids showed up.
That's
60
awesome.
Kids. And not only did 60 kids show up, but I had people calling me, parents calling me from out of state, from New York, New Jersey, you know, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, saying, so how many kids are coming? What do you think this is going to be like? How many kids are going to? And I would tell them, you know, what was going on. And I already have pre-reg this many people, and it looks really good. And I know I'm going to get more because CCAP brings in all these kids. They bring in a lot of kids. And so I said, you know, your kids will definitely have people to ride with. It's going to be a good event. It's going to be a really good event. And that's why they were calling, because they wanted to be able to have their kids have that experience of being able to do that. And CCAP has been very, very influential in that. Now, Joseph, you're running a program also. Are you not in Hartford? Is it still with CCAP or is it something different?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We started up actually. So Karen Franzen, who I think is, you know, one of the you know, God's great people on earth.
She is a goddess.
Very
very much so. Yes, yes.
She is
big shout out to Karen.
She's the CCAP youth program director, coordinator, all things great on kids on bikes. And she was reaching out and looking for a sponsor, sort of people that would be up for running a program in Hartford, sort of Hartford County area. And I'm a part of a cycling club called Octagon Cycling Club. And so she contacted us and got a hold of, you know, sort of our leadership at the club, and really wanted some people that would stand behind cycling in sort of an urban area. And the Octagon Cycling Club is mostly, you know, folks that are, a lot of them from, you know, the Caribbean and Jamaica and Barbados and Trinidad, and, you know, grew up cycling and then immigrated to the United States and brought their same passion and love for cycling here to the U.S. And so I've just gotten really connected with this club. It's just a great group of people. And when Karen came and sat down with us and said, hey, we're really interested in starting a club in Hartford, and, you know, it's been tough to get some traction with the right set of people that would be able to connect with the kids, would be able to be consistent and lead the program. And, you know, when she sat down, one of the things that I love most is I love coaching. I love working with people individually. I love working with groups of people. I love developing people's skills and helping them see themselves grow. And, so it really spoke to me when she came in and said, hey, you know, this is what we want to do. And so that was about, I guess, a year and a half ago, Dave, I think, roughly.
That sounds about
right. I don't know, year-ish. You lose track of time. But we hosted the first set of practices last spring. And then we did a lot of work to really help drum up the program in Hartford throughout the spring and summer. And now we're actually looking at how do we expand the program and really connect our program with some of the core elements of bikes and kids that are already going on in the city.
And it's all kids. It's all kids that we're focusing on.
Yep.
Dave, there's coaching around the state. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And how does that set up?
Well, the coaches are by far one of the most important parts of the entire program. And you think about it, so there's a statistic that a coach is, next to a parent, is the most influential person in a kid's life. And
frightening.
We see it as a positive thing.
I'm sure you do.
But and as Joseph said, when we're able to connect with a coach that is truly dedicated and is focused on running a program that is a true community centered and youth focused team, then it makes all the difference in the world for these kids. And as we identify more and more coaches, we'll mm-hmm. continue to expand and develop more and more teams.
And how many different areas in the state do you have coaches?
So right now, there are 35 different programs.
35?
And those wow. teams have a head coach, and then almost all of them also have at least one and sometimes two assistant coaches that help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And the coaches are, do they have cycling experience? Are they bicycle racers? Or what do you have to do to be a coach?
It's the full gamut. Some of the coaches are some of the best cyclists ever to live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
All the way down to people that are just so passionate about connecting kids and giving them a really positive activity to participate in that cycling is almost new to them. But the rest of it, they like the coaching aspect and the I'd say the coordination of kids aspect of it is something that they're very, very good at.
Yeah.
And we're able to help develop their skills in cycling specifically so that they can teach the kids a lot.
Sure, sure. Now these kids, obviously, they have a bicycle. Their parents are behind them on this, and they have
some,
a bicycle.
Not all. Some
well, that's why I'm yeah. going. I'm yep. segueing over to you, yep. to you, Joseph, on this one, because I know that there are other challenges that are out there, but a number of them probably do come from a situation where they have bicycles and the means to have them. But then we go over to Joseph, and he's working in Hartford, and it's in more well, it's an inner city. I
yeah.
mean, we've got all the problems that you can have in any big inner city. We have in Hartford
and opportunities.
Very yeah. good, very good. Like yeah. that. That's good. That's a good spin. So, what happens when you have a kid who obviously is challenged in not physically,
yeah,
and not enthusiastically,
yep,
but challenged in the fact that they don't have a bike? What do you do for someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's spot on. I mean, in many places, cycling is a cost prohibitive sport, but I think one of the great things is, the partnership and the development work that CCAP has done around having sponsors and folks that are standing behind the program has allowed the Hartford team to have some bikes that we have available for kids to demo and to ride for our practices. So that's one element of being able to do our program with kids that don't have access to bicycles. But then the other is we're starting a project and we're bringing, as I said, bringing closer alignment with some of the core bicycle elements within Hartford. And BCCO at the Center for Latino Progress is right in the middle of Park Street. They have a very, very well-developed bike build program and build to own. And Tony Shirolis just does a great job of connecting with many, many kids in Hartford. And we're really working on that being an element of our program is getting kids, motivated. They're kids that are motivated and love cycling already. They're out there doing their own thing. I didn't find them. They kind of found this program, and many of these kids are, building up bikes. They're riding all the time, doing BMX tricks, flipping backwards. I mean, some of these kids can do some things on bikes that I really would never do now because I would end up with a broken hip, and I wouldn't be able to coach anybody or do anything productive for a long time.
You have other useful things
yes,
you can
exactly,
do now.
Right. Yeah, okay. I'm skilled in other areas.
And
that's
we don't have to show off anymore. That's it.
Right. I'm
with you there, Joseph.
I don't have to show off anymore.
I like to say that, we've kind of all had our day, so now it's time to, give back and get more involved and draw kids in and all. Yeah. When I had my bicycle shop, I always had a race team at the bike shop. shop. And I had lots of juniors that came through, and I got these kids involved in cycling and got them involved in racing. And it's just so much fun, you know, to take them out. And you know, I would actually take them out for rides and of course, bring them to something very bad, you know, something horribly steep or whatever. And because they thought they were all that, because they were getting stronger and they were starting to, you know, place in a race now and then. And of course, so the old guy'd take them out. You know, we take them out.
You gotta show them who's boss, right?
And well, you know, I don't really have a whole lot going on anymore. I don't have the same kind of power or speed that I used to have when I was racing my bike, but I'm still smarter than they were. And that was the fun thing, is to bring them to something ugly and nasty and watch them all attack the bottom of the hill. Oh, bad, 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 bad. And try to explain to them. That was the coaching lesson of the day. Do not attack the bottom of the hill. You know, I mean, we know that. We've all been through this. So you know what the outcome is. You go anaerobic, you're in trouble, and then you're going to blow up three quarters of the way up the hill, and you're going to be done. And, of course, they all attack. And I watch them go and see one of them, you know, looking over his shoulder, looking at, where's Ron? Where's Ron? Where's Ron? Yeah, we're beating him. And, of course, we got over the very, very steep part, and that grade was – that probably is about a 13 or 14% grade on the steep part. So it'll take your legs out. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll take them out and leave them on the side of the road somewhere. And then there's a 6% grade afterwards that goes for another half a mile. And I come rolling around them, and I look over at them, and I just looked at them, and I said, you know, I'm just getting warmed up. And I popped it in the big ring and left them. And they are like, you know, they had nothing left. They pretty much burned all their matches and all. And then when they got back up to the top and called out to me, I said, okay, boys, what'd you learn back there? And, you know, you go on and you explain, you know, about don't attack, don't put yourself into an anaerobic state too early, because then you're not going to have anything later on. You got to pace yourself. And so you get to play around them. So it was fun to play with them. Then they get really fast, and then they go and race in Europe, and they come back, and they'd be fabulous. And, you know, there was no riding with them anymore unless they decided to have a bad day or a very slow day. But it's fun. It's inspiring. It's really fun.
Very much so.
I think you nailed it on the head there, where kids always want to figure stuff out. And the more that you can turn anything into some type of game, whether it's skills, where you're teaching balance, or you're training and you're racing each other up hills, however you want to formulate that into a game, is a positive thing for the kids.
That's great. So as far as coaching skills go, are you guys like USA Cycling certified, or do you just how do you go about that?
Yeah, so the coaches, the head coaches are USA Cycling certified, and then there's also a cycling manual that CCAP wrote that really helps kind of make it all real, I guess, bring it down to the earth level. And then has everything from best practices for coaching all the way to examples of drills and games that you can do with the kids. So we try to make it sure that the coaches have a full set of coaching skills and going into this. And
excellent.
In addition, we also have coaches summits that are three times a year that happen right before each of our seasons. So one in the spring, one in the summer, and one in the fall. And they're positive in the sense that, you know, not only are the coaches learning and having a one-on-one interaction with Karen, our youth programs director, but they are also connecting with other coaches, and it's one of the best think tanks that I think we can provide.
So I'm a parent, and I'm out there, and I've got a kid that I want to get involved in cycling. Where do I find out more information?
The best place is go right to our website, which is ctcyclingadvancement.org, and from there, there's actually a tab where you can click to find out where the local teams are. And, of course, you can also email right there to Karen@ctcyclingadvancement.com, and she'll give you all the information on the teams that you want to know about.
All right, and tell her Ron at Bicycle Talks at high. So that's what that she'll get
perfect.
A kick out of that. And then, Joseph, do you have a connection for anyone who's interested in getting involved in the Hartford area?
Yeah, so we're going to be hosting a lot of information, putting it up on the BCCO website, and that's BICI_CO.org. bcco.org.
Okay.
I think that's right.
And, I think that's right,
too. BC Co.
Tony called in, but unfortunately, I can't hook him up today.
Oh.
So,
He said he was calling to heckle, so.
Was that what he was doing?
Yeah, but I told him to heckle Dave.
I think he's listening
perhaps,
out there,
yeah.
But he's had his day here. We definitely had him on, and
yeah.
He explained the whole BC Co. thing.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
It's a fantastic program.
I'm going to bring him back.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this is the kind of discussion we got to keep going, because the more we can pound it out there into the airwaves and on the podcasts, the more we can generate more interest and make this thing into a real monster. Because I'd love to see kids on bikes. I just love seeing kids on bikes. It's just fascinating to me. But we're not here for just that, are we? Okay, we're here for something else. We have something really big going on here, and something that I have been pushing for a number of weeks now. I did a show where the rant was giving back to your sport. And I used the Nationals as an example of time to volunteer, time to get out there and help out and give back to the sport that you love, because nothing infuriates me more than when you're putting on an event and you have a racer participant come up to you and start complaining to you about something that's going on at the event. And then I used to get angry with that. I used to get really upset and have a hard time dealing with it. And then I found a way to diffuse it. And I go, so how many events have you helped with? You just turn it around and say, have you ever done this before? Have you ever volunteered? Have you ever, have you ever given some of your time back to your, I just come here to race. And it's like, well, so until you do that, I don't want to hear it. Okay, you can come back and talk to me as soon as you get involved a little bit more and you learn a little bit more about what's going on. And then we can have an intelligent conversation about this.
Wise Ron.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
His words.
Yeah. Wise Ron. Yeah. Wise guy, Ron. Yeah. But anyway, but we have this thing coming up, and it's huge. We have a national championship race in Hartford, of all places. Hartford.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. And there's a lot of things going on here. I was with Tom Stevens yesterday, who is a course designer and cyclocross aficionado. He's put on probably more races than I've ever put on, and I put on an awful lot of races. And he's we went over the course a little bit because he's been helping with course design. And so we're looking at the schematic and going through it. And he was showing me all the different things he's doing. And he said, yeah, we're going to do this over here, kind of like where you had it on your race, because I obviously put a race on in that venue, too. Mm-hmm. And it looks good. I mean, I'm psyched. It looks really good. I'm very, very excited, because when I first saw it, I'm thinking, well, this Riverside Park, it's kind of Riverfront Park. It's kind of flat. It's not going to be flat at all. It's going to have that levee dike area over there.
Yeah.
That's got some really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And they're doing some kind of fun stuff over there, too. So I think it's going to be really challenging.
Yeah. Dave Hildebrand, one of the Aetna guys and Expo guys, he did a really interesting sort of early, based on the schematic walkthrough of the course.
I saw it. He tweeted it the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, which was pretty good. So he kind of walks everyone through the course and how to get across the, from the parking area to the course. And so he does a really good job. So that was a pretty cool initial intro to what the course looks like.
So, but there's more to it than just the race. I mean, obviously, there's racing every day, and it starts, I think, on that Tuesday
January 3rd,
and then it goes on through to the next Sunday is what it is.
January 8th, Sunday.
So we've got lots of racing going on, and again, if you have never seen one of these, if you've never seen a cyclocross race, you need to get out and check this out. This is the highest level right here. This is the national championship event. You're going to see the best of the country come out and compete. You're going to see some amazing riders. You really are.
Actually, another neat thing about cyclocross from a championship standpoint, it gets the highest turnout of racers and spectators of all the championship races in the U.S.
Is that right?
So this is, and the fact that, on top of that, the fact that New England is kind of like the home of U.S. cyclocross.
I like to feel like I'm a part of that.
you really don't want to miss this for a variety of reasons.
And I think, in terms of the various cycling disciplines, I think this is by far one of the most spectator-friendly. It's a the course is a tight area. It's going over, you know, asphalt and grass and up steep hills and down steep hills. And so it's really it's an engaging sport to watch, an engaging discipline of cycling, because just there's so much going on. And, you know, it's very technical. You think, you know, it's not kind of, you know, road racing, you can kind of see, okay, one guy's just going faster, clearly. Mountain biking, you might see someone every, you know, 45 minutes. But with cyclocross, you see people multiple times around a lap. And you can see some people look like they're just going, like, as hard as they can. They're just pedaling super fast. And then some people just look like they're absolutely floating. And then they're not putting out any more effort than anyone else, but they're flying around the course. And you kind of start to really try and wonder, how does someone do that versus, you know, me, who feels like, you know, I race and I'm like trying to, you know, I have lactate acid coming out of my eyeballs.
Yes.
And, you know, some of these other people are just like floating around the course. I'm just like, how do they go so dang fast?
Well, you know, there is an engine part to this.
Sure,
too. Some people have bigger engines than others do. I mean, we all as human beings, we generate a quarter horsepower. That's what we do. But the internal engine, the VO2 max, the ability to process oxygen is different with everyone. And some people are born into it, and some people are not. I'm not. But I have been tested, and I'm average. So I know that not pursuing a career in professional cycling was a good choice.
Yeah.
But then you would get somebody like, let's say, Aiden, who is that guy can process oxygen. I mean, you know, Aiden Charles, who's part of Charles Coaching, and
also the founder of CCAP,
and also the founder of CCAP. And that boy can process oxygen. And, you know, he's one of those floaters you talk about, you know. My days of floating were probably about 20 years ago. Now it's all just a struggle.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing is I can still go out and ride my cross bike on a cross course, and I can leave very, very talented people behind because I can read the course better than
that's
they
the skill component.
So that's the skill component. Yep. So if you get your average criterium racer who just has amazing explosion, an incredible amount of wattage that they can put out, and then I can get them into a little hill dance or a little, you know, twisty turny area and read it better, all of a sudden I'm better than they are.
Yep.
I'm not, but you know, at that point I am. So when I put together courses, I like to mix them up a little bit so that everybody has their advantage or disadvantage, and they can deal with it there. So it's my favorite part about cross, though, I think, is that it just if you think you know how to ride a bike, go to a cross race.
Yeah.
Because, boy, do you learn how to ride a bike. Yeah. Or you learn very quickly that you don't know how to ride a bike. And the skills that you get from cross transfer out to the road.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, road, mountain, everything.
Road, mountain, everything. Yeah. Because if you're riding a mountain bicycle, you've got a much wider tire. Mm-hmm. You've got a bike that's obviously made more for off-road. But when you bring that to a narrow tire without any suspension, and you have to learn how to ride it, and you get better on your mountain bike because of it, and you get way better on your road bike because of it too. So I was always encouraging, when I had my little junior racers riding out of my store, I always made sure that they had to do cross. That was part of the deal. You have to do cross. Oh, I don't want to do cross, Ron. Well, you know what? You have to. That's all there is to it. There's no way out of this. And they would always come back with a very positive experience from it. And a lot of it was, you know, there was this huge crash in front of me, and I got around it. It's like, you can thank cyclocross for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because things happen really quickly in cross, you know, things happen. So spectator-wise, it's a good time because you've got all different points along this course that you can look and you can watch, and you can see what's going on. And there's a lot of crash and burn that goes on. Mm-hmm. So everybody likes to ask NASCAR. Everyone loves crash and burn. Who knows why, but they love crash and burn. So you've got that going on. It's just very, very entertaining.
In addition to that, one of the things that makes this event so great is that all the right people and the right side activities are there too. So Richard Fries, one of the most well-known announcers in the world, will be there. Sierra Nevada will have several beer tents on site for our 21 and over folks.
Right.
There'll be food trucks there. There'll be a huge industry center. So anybody who's a bike geek will love being around the sponsors like Cannondale and Shimano. There'll also just be a whole ton of expo vendors there. So by all means, it's going to be a true experience outside of just the bicycle race itself.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Now, you sent me over a list of events here that are going on that are other than the race. And so maybe, Joseph, you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I sat down probably a couple months ago with Tony over at BC Co. and Jeff Devereaux from Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner. Just some guys that are, based out of Hartford and have a real interest in really promoting Hartford and opportunities that to do cool things in the city. And so as we got together, we started putting our heads together around, okay, we've got this huge, opportunity around Cyclocross Nationals. We're going to be bringing in, 5,000-6,000 people from outside of the state that are going to be coming here to race and ride. We've got a bunch of people from around the suburbs that are going to be coming into Hartford. How can we capture some of that interest, and how can we do some engaging things that will help people learn about cyclocross and connect Hartford with cyclocross, but also give people fun things to do? So Tony actually put together a really great list that he put it out on the USA Cycling that has about 48 things to do in Hartford during that week. But we put a real focus around three particular events. The first one is on Wednesday, and that's going to be at the Hanging Hills Brewery over in South Hartford. And that's right after the Collegiate National Cyclocross race.
A night of shenanigans?
Yes, a night of shenanigans, basically. It's going to be a wild time. I've participated in some events that are similar to this. It's going to be a gold sprints event, so we'll have bikes set up side by side. We'll have a projector up that will be showing kind of these bike racers going against each other head-to-head. Really short, high intense efforts, probably 12 to 15 seconds at most, type of races. We're going to have, a lot of people that we're inviting out. So, this is early in the week. And so for us, we see it as a really prime opportunity to connect the Hartford community with the national cyclocross community as well. And it'll be a great chance to make sure that people understand and kind of get a chance to connect with what's going on. And there'll also be a costume competition. So, if you can't ride fast or you don't feel like riding fast, you can at least be a champion of looking ridiculous. And then, right? And then I may not wear a costume. I may just go as myself and see if that works. We're also going to have a competition around heckling, since cyclocross, is heckling. So, as voted by the audience, who's got the best heckle game in the nation around cyclocross? So,
well, that's really good. We have a hillside at the Mansfield Cross Race, which is called Heckler Hill.
Exactly.
And, every cross course should have a good heckle point.
Absolutely.
And usually the heckle points are related to extremely difficult or challenging areas.
Yes.
That and we had one year where we had this a double uphill, and which was hard enough to ride up at as it was. And then somebody got the grandioso idea of putting a barrier at the top. Hmm. And I put the barrier at the top. Yes, it was me. I put the barrier at the top, and everybody's going, you don't want to do that run there. They're going to have to run up this as it is. No, I said, they're going to ride up this. I'm telling you, these guys are strong. They're going to ride up it. You watch. They're going to do it. I'm putting a barrier at the top. That's it. No one could make it over the barrier. They get to the barrier and they dismount, and then of course you're dismounting on an upgrade, so it's hard, and so it's a challenging place to dismount the bike, and you had to decide maybe to dismount a little bit earlier so you didn't lose your rhythm.
Yep.
One guy. Sean, trying to remember Sean's last name, he's from Rhode Island, and he jumped it every single lap. He jumped it.
Wow.
And the crowd got into it because they'd see him coming. And it started at the bottom, and people were like, go, 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 go. And he'd get over. And the last time he went over, he hung up his pedal on the barrier, but he just forced himself through it and then popped over, and his rear wheel kind of went bounce, bounce, and he got through, and the crowd just, that was it. That was the moment of the race right there. The crowd went wild.
And nobody cared at that point, and he probably almost didn't care. Am I winning or not? I don't know, but I'm winning in the crowd competition.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter because, you know, I mean, everyone's winning at that point. Yeah. The crowd's winning. He's winning. You know, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And so, yeah, heckler, like it.
Yeah.
Good addition. Yeah. Very nice.
So
Very nice.
So that'll be activities for Wednesday night. That'll start probably around 5. You know, you can find out for sort of all of the information will be going up on the BC Co. website and up on the BC Co. Facebook page. We'll be putting a lot of information out about that event. Then Thursday or Friday, we're not exactly sure what day, but over at Hog River Brewing Company over on Park Street, we're going to be having a builder's ball. So we're inviting out a bunch of the local New England bicycle builders, custom frame builders. So it'll be a night of craft beer and craft bikes.
Very nice.
So for me, you know, and I think anybody else, that's kind of a win.
I'm getting a theme here with the beer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
It's kind of nice.
Beer. It's cyclocross beer. Yeah, and it just... No coffee.
That's well, yeah, Invictus. You have to have your uppers in the morning. And then
right.
Okay. Okay. Is that what it is? Okay. This is the Elvis diet here. Yeah. Elvis diet and bicycles. Right. Yeah.
J. Renee Roaster is actually over in Park Street in West Hartford, right on the Hartford line there. They're the official coffee partner of the.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. You'll see
plenty
of
good
coffee
because you know that's kind of my that's my thing. I like the coffee.
Yeah, Jose runs a great shop and his Invictus Coffee actually is sponsoring and doing a lot of support for Rwandan cyclists. So,
really?
Yeah,
nice.
I'm a big advocate for what he's doing over there.
So there's now you say a builder's ball. Now the builder's ball, I had Eric Weiss on a number of weeks back when the KMC cross race was in Thompson.
Yep.
And he had been putting on the builder's ball for them for 10 years. And so he was on, he explained the builder's ball. We had a really nice show with him. You can look that up on podcast if you want to check it out and review it from before. I don't know which number it is, but it's there. Anyway, the builder's ball is really kind of cool because there's all these custom frame builders and primarily building with steel, most of them. That's what you're looking at, but really beautiful craftsmen building, you know, really cool bikes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a way to just kind of connect with a different side of the whole bicycle world. And these aren't bicycles that are built in Asia. These are not bicycles that are coming from out of this country. They're right here. They're local. And they're happening right in your backyard. You don't even realize they're here. But it's a really, really cool thing. So builder's balls are fun, and I like them because I go there and I'm like Norm walking into the Cheers bar because everybody knows me. So it's kind of fun. So it's a great way to connect with old friends and you know, get some excitement there too. Yeah. But and I still have a couple of people on my list from the builder's ball, the KMC cross race, that are going to be on the future shows.
Because, oh, great.
You know, they're really and just from different aspects. So that's kind of cool. So you have a builder's ball, and
that's going to be on Thursday or Friday at Hog River Brewery.
Thursday or Friday?
Thursday or Friday. We're still working with there's still some internal movement amongst the builders about what night works best for them.
Okay.
But that'll get sorted out. Again, we'll be posting that up on social media and Facebook, and we'll Ron, if you're willing to tweet out some of this information, that'll help connect people further.
I will send as much out as you want.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then the real premier event that we're really excited about and looking forward to is going to be on Saturday. And we'll be at the BC Co. Bike shop. Mm-hmm. On their third floor at 9597 Park Street in Hartford. And we're doing a live podcast / radio show. We've got a great partner in Bill Shiken of Cyclocross Hairs, CX Hairs. He's based out of D.C. in Pittsburgh. And he has done a series of videos that I would call sort of cyclocross technique specific videos. That's called, they're called Svennis, and they're named after Sven Nys, who was kind of the Michael Jordan of cyclocross. He's now retired, but you know, he's the Michael Jordan of cyclocross.
Yeah, sure.
And based out of, you know, a Belgian racer. And so, you know, Bill is going to be on doing the podcast. He'll be talking a little bit about cyclocross technique and skills and how you go fast on a course. And we'll have a bunch of we'll actually have two professional racers, both based out of New England. Spencer Howe and Adam Meyerson are both going to be there participating in that discussion. And so it'll be an opportunity for, you know, obviously racers and, you know, adults to be there. But we're really focusing this event on we really want to have a lot of kids come out and participate. We're really advertising it a lot to the BC Co. Youth that are participating in their bike programs, because we think this is an probably one of the best opportunities to really help them come to understand this sport, get access to it in a way that they maybe wouldn't have otherwise, and then also give them a chance to really engage in a really close, tight, intimate setting with some pro racers. And Adam Meyerson is awesome. Like, he is the most alt punk rock looking kind of guy.
Yes, he is.
And but he's also this guy that has probably one of the biggest hearts around kids and urban kids around cycling. So
Adam's been around for almost as long as I've been around.
Yeah,
so he's been he's been involved in cross, primarily
cross,
in for many
years.
So he's very involved. You know, we've generated here in New England, we have generated some of the best cross racers in the country.
Yep.
And it's because this really is a hotbed of cycling. So it's kind of interesting to see some of the people that have come through and some of the national champions that we produced. And I remember, you know, just the McCormick brothers when they were teenagers coming to my cross race. And they would go on and win national championships. And, you know, as they became adult riders, they were winning then too. I mean, just amazing, amazing talent that's out there.
Yeah, and let's not forget too, the current national champion is from East. He grew up in East Lyme, Connecticut. His name's Jeremy Powers.
That's correct.
And he's won, I think, gosh, I want to say three or four times now, U.S. national
there's
championship.
Something in the water down there.
Yeah, right.
I'm pointing towards Millstone, but I'm not gonna you know, make any direct comments on that, because Tom Danielson's from that area too. You know,
he is. Yeah. As is Ben Wolf.
Yeah, as is Ben Wolf. Mm-hmm. So there are some names in cycling, big names in cycling, that have come out of that funny little corner of Connecticut, which is just kind of, I don't know why. I don't know why it's down there, but it's something in the water. I'm telling you, it's something in the water.
And actually, and in addition to all the really awesome events that Beachy Co. is kind of activating the community behind locally, there will also be events from Thursday through Sunday that are happening as kind of like the event takes control and overruns downtown Hartford. So it's in great coordination with these events. So in addition to the Thursday event that they're planning, there will actually be an official kind of art, cyclo art show.
Oh, nice.
Hartford Fine Art and Framing, and some of the best and the most well-known artists in cycling art will have
I wonder if my
there.
Friend Doug Dale will be there.
So
do you know Doug Dale?
I do know of Doug, yeah.
Yeah, Doug has something he calls Doug Art. Doug's going to be on the show. He said he would actually drive all the way down from the very northern part of Massachusetts to the show, and I just need to contact him. I just got an email from him the other day, and he wants to be on because he does some really cool stuff. And
awesome. Well, we're hoping he'll be there.
Yeah,
so
well,
that would be great.
I'm sure he probably will. I'll reach out to him. Reach out to him just to make sure that he is going to be there, because I hope to see him again, because you know, he does some really interesting stuff. So
that's Thursday. And then Friday is actually the official Mechanics National Championship, which will be the second year running. And this is an awesome event.
Wait. Mechanics National Championship?
Oh, yeah. It's something.
Explain, please.
This is an event that I have to say is probably one of the most fun events of the entire week. You have all the pro team mechanics come out, and it's one of the opportunities they actually have to relax and have some fun, drink a little bit of beer, and then compete
themselves.
See
beer again. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also involves folks like last year, Dark Bouchard Hall, the CEO of USA Cycling, was there and competed. It's a blast, and that'll happen at Black Bear Saloon, which is right downtown on Allen Street.
Wow, I'm never going to sleep.
Oh, that's the point.
That's good.
This is going to be great.
You know,
that's why Jay Renee is there, to make sure everybody
exactly.
gets to that place.
And you know, I'm going to be talking with the folks here today about this, but I'm going to get a remote recorder, and I'm going to be recording around the course on various days and putting together
awesome.
Something for a podcast in the future, too, because I thought it would be just kind of a fun thing to do. I would love to broadcast live there, but unfortunately, I won't have anybody in the studio to log me in, or I haven't arranged that yet, so we're still working on that.
There are a lot of students here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're not here in January.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no one here in January. So unless I can get somebody that can run the board on this side, then I really can't do it. But and Fran is going to be away in Arizona, so I can't.
Lucky
otherwise,
her.
I would. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Arizona,
nice,
warm, beautiful. That's bring your bike, ride your bike. Yeah.
And the final special event that I'll speak to, so I don't hold everybody up here, but is right after that awesome podcast with CX Hairs and at Beachico. Mm-hmm. That entire crowd, and we're talking like 500 other people, become converging again on Black Bear Saloon for one of the biggest parties of the entire event, which is the Shimano Cyclocross Nationals Party. As you guys know, Shimano is like the biggest company in cycling.
Yes,
and they
have.
The neat thing, too, is, you know, Shimano has not only such a large national and international presence, but also very local. And it was, there's some folks that are really activating the local community to make this party happen. It's in support of CCAP. You're going to see representatives from close to 100 bike shops there. It's going to be a great event. And that's, again, at Black Bear Saloon at 7. It starts at 7 o'clock.
Go
through the night.
Is there a place that we can go to find all this online? Is there some place we can find
absolutely.
All this information?
So one of the best places just for – really, all the updates is the Facebook page, which is 2017 Hartford Cyclocross National Championships.
Nice.
And that'll have running updates, but also the local organizing committee website, which is ctcyclingadvancement.org, and just look under the events tab.
Yeah, and we'll also be advertising and putting out the events for sort of the other weekly activities that are going to be going on, and those will be on the BC Co blog, and that's BC Co. So I got the correct address now. It's not BC _ Co. It's just BC Co. BICICO.org. And if you go to their website, that'll have the BC Co blog, and that'll have all the information about what's going on for that week. And I guess the last thing that I'll just put in is, we're also going to be hosting open. There'll be hosting open shop hours. There is no bike shop in Hartford. I think a real underserved market. And so BC Co is stepping in to provide some, I think, great service for that week. They're going to be open from 11 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, January 3rd through January 7th, right in downtown Hartford. And that'll be an opportunity. You know, they're going to have bike stands set up with some community tools, bring your own tools. We're hoping maybe Jay Renee will hook us up with some coffee for that week to, you know, give us the early morning uppers while people are working on their bikes. We'll have some mechanics that'll be on hand that will be able to provide some support and guidance. And we ask that people would, you know, maybe help support BC Co's programs with a little bit of donation at the end of using those services. There'll be some basic things that you can buy. You know, there'll be some tires, some tubular glue, some tubular tires, cables, things of that nature that, your average cross racer is going to need, particularly if you're racing more than one race that week.
Right, right. Very cool. Very cool. So, wow, this is just like, it really is really come together. It's just seems like everybody is pulling together. 2 months ago, I didn't know what I was going to expect. Okay, don't take me wrong here, get me wrong in any way, but I really didn't know what to expect, because I'm looking on, really, we're really having a nationals here. Where's the info? What's going on? And because I just want to talk about it, you know, because this is a very big passionate thing of mine. And now all of a sudden there's just a ton of things going on. This is great. This is going to be really fun. And, you know, and when I was talking to Tom Stevens yesterday about the course, he said that it is, because we are both concerned about certain things like, you know, the river coming up. You know, snowfall. You know, what if we have a blizzard? Yeah. You know, there are definitely some.
All those things just make it more interesting, Ron.
Yeah, yeah.
They cause a logistical
nightmare
for the racers
and for the organizer. Yeah.
Yeah. Logistical nightmare from an organizer's point of view. But anyway, we were talking about all that, and Tom said he thinks that it might possibly be one of the best venues for a Nationals Cross that he has been to.
That's
and
awesome
he's been to a lot of them.
Yeah, I'll make a quick plug here for Hartford and say that one of the things that is so great about this event is not just Riverside Park. Then that is a beautiful park, and it has some great elements, but also the vicinity to downtown Hartford.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, and it's one of the few national championships that's been so embedded in a downtown scene.
It really is a cool place.
Yeah,
I mean,
great
park. Backdrop alone, I have on the Riverfront Cross race that I put on, I always put a barrier right over by the river, and if you take a picture of people coming over a double barrier right there, you get a backdrop of the Founders Bridge and the Connecticut River. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I put the race on in the fall, so there's maybe some color there, too, which is kind of fun. There won't be color, but maybe they'll be all white. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That would make for a very challenging
frozen
course.
River.
And if you are interested in getting involved in helping out with the Nationals, is there a way to where place to go?
Absolutely. That's a quick plug on this is that there are volunteers are a huge part of this. So please sign up and help. It's if you go to ctcyclingadvancement.org, go under the events tab and click on the national championships, and there's a registration for volunteers, and you can specify when you want to help out.
I am signed
That's
up.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much for being here. My guests today have been Dave Hoyle, Executive Director of the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, Joseph Dickerson, adventure and fitness coach with InspiredAdventurist.com, head coach for the Octagon Active City BCCO Hartford Youth Cycling Team.
Yep.
Boy, that's a mouthful. You got to try to condense that a little bit.
I think we're just going to call it the Goon Squad.
Whatever. Anyway, thank you so much for everything you guys do, everything you do for cycling, everything you're doing for this race. This is a really wonderful thing. Please get out and check out the National Championships in Hartford. It's really cool. Go to the Facebook page. Check that out. My name is Pedaling Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk, a show where I talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar, and of course, cyclocross. Personal passion. If you want to comment on this to the podcast or to the show, you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut.